Hey, it's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The city of Whitewater entered the national political spotlight last year after its police chief, Dan Meyer, wrote a letter to President Biden asking for federal resources to support an influx of immigrants in the community.
Former President Trump went on to reference the city during campaign rallies in Wisconsin, using it as a means of criticizing the Biden administration's border policy.
But the political rhetoric doesn't tell the whole story of immigration in Whitewater. So journalists at the nonprofit ProPublica spent months talking to local leaders and community members to get a more complete picture.
Melissa Sanchez and Mariam Jamil are reporters for ProPublica. Their new story on Nicaraguan immigrants in Whitewater was just published this morning. Mariam, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
And Melissa, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Melissa, ProPublica is doing an investigative series on how immigration is experienced in the U.S. What led the two of you into Whitewater in particular?
Well, Mariam and I, for the past couple of years now, have been reporting from Wisconsin, focused largely on immigrants who work on dairy farms. And we'd noticed, you know, a couple of years ago, right from the start, that the city of Whitewater kept popping up in unexpected ways. Whitewater isn't a place where there's dairy farms. It's more of an urban area. But a lot of the immigrants who had been working on dairy farms were starting to shift jobs and move into factory work into places like Whitewater. And so we became interested in it a while ago, and it was just kind of on our radar. And when the chief wrote a letter to Biden last year and it got all that attention back in January, it just made sense to kind of pause and see what was actually happening there.
Mariam, what can you tell us about the Nicaraguan immigrants who, as Melissa just mentioned, are in some cases moving off of dairy farms and into industrial jobs in Whitewater? What kind of demand is there for their labor? What kind of work are they doing?
Yeah, they're working in a number of different type of mostly manufacturing and food production jobs. So there's an egg farm in the area. There's a packaging company. There is a toilet part manufacturing company. There's a company called there's a company that focuses on power manufacturing. They are companies that are inside Whitewater and slightly outside, often 20 to 30 minutes out of the city, and it makes Whitewater a great hub to settle in because there's more housing available in the city than in some of the surrounding towns and rural areas.
Melissa, you mentioned the police chief, Dan Meyer, writing that letter to the White House, and this it immediately gets drawn into the national political conversation. You spent a lot of time talking to Chief Meyer there. What were his feelings about how his letter was treated in national politics versus what he was really facing from day to day?
I mean, I think he was really taken aback by what was happening. He has this line he always says, like, I'm just trying to do my job. He was just trying to get resources. He's a guy who really avoids politics as much as he can. He's glad he's not in an elected position. Like, you know, we asked him many times, like, who are you voting for? And he's just is disinterested. He hates politics. So to see this, like, from what we could tell, like a really pragmatic, like attempt to get resources for a department that was already short-staffed before the Nicaraguans came, to see that become like a big political spectacle and draw a lot of negative attention to the city, I think was really discouraging. And so, you know, he doesn't wear his feelings on his sleeve, but he wasn't happy about what he was seeing from either party. And like, he made that very clear. He's like, leaders from both sides have really disappointed him.
Mariam, in the national conversation, this is sometimes treated as, aha, a police department is overwhelmed by these migrants and a wave of crime that's following them. That wasn't there, the violent crime. A very common problem, though, that Chief Meyer and others cite in your reporting is driving. An inability of many of these migrants to get a driver's license. When you were talking to people in the Nicaraguan immigrant community in Whitewater, how big a challenge was this in their lives?
It's a huge challenge for people. Some of the Nicaraguans are technically eligible to get a driver's license because they're asylum seekers, but the steps required to do that from getting paperwork, often they need their Nicaraguan IDs that have been confiscated from them at the border often, to just like the literacy required to take a driver's license test are huge obstacles. And for them, this isn't a place where you're most likely going to be able to walk to your job. You need to use a car to get groceries, to just live your life, to get to work. And the police are often not necessarily looking for people who might be driving without a license, but they scan licenses as a routine part of their job, license plates, and then they see that vehicles are registered to somebody who doesn't have a driver's license, and they end up pulling over and ticketing that person. And then we actually did a couple of ride-alongs with police officers to understand better firsthand. And we saw how, because somebody might be either not handing over an ID or giving an ID that doesn't have their real name, it turns into a process, a multiple hours long process to really sort out who it is that they've pulled over to be able to issue a ticket, in addition to the language barriers that they're working through with a translator while they do their policing. So it's a huge issue.
And Melissa, go ahead, Melissa.
Oh, sorry. No, just one thing to add that was really striking, I think, to people in Whitewater when we told them is that the vast majority of the Nicaraguans we interviewed come from these itty bitty rural communities up in the mountains in northern Nicaragua, in places where people don't drive. People walk or they get around on mule or horse because the roads are so bad and people are so poor. Nobody actually owns a vehicle. So a lot of the people we talked to learned how to drive in Whitewater. One person in town kind of described it as being bumper cars at the beginning because people were making mistakes, not huge mistakes that were leading to pedestrian fatalities or anything, but they were learning how to drive as they went. And so sometimes people were getting pulled over, like Mariam explains, with these random checks of the plates. But sometimes, the main person we focused on, this man named Mariel, he went straight through an intersection from a left turn lane, which isn't, the worst mistake in the world, but it was something that caught the attention of a police officer who then pulled him over.
Talking to Melissa Sanchez and Mariam Jamil with ProPublica and the reporting on Nicaraguan immigrants in Whitewater. Mariam, in the piece, you also talked to community members, locals who were there watching Nicaraguan migrants move into the community. Wide variety of reactions. What kind of things were you hearing?
Yeah, I would say the strongest feeling that we heard from people in Whitewater, which is a city that leans slightly liberal, where people were really happy to see that their population was becoming more diverse while also trying to rush to find ways to help the new population adjust. So for instance, one group is making videos to teach newcomers kind of things that I think would be obvious to a lot of people who grew up in the U.S. in most places, things like you need to call in absences if you're going to school, if your kid won't be going to school, things like how to grocery shop effectively and bring carts back to the store, little things like that folks are seeing people struggle with. I think there's a lot of anger around how politicized the issue in Whitewater became. Folks were frustrated to hear former President Trump describing a level of crime that wasn't actually happening in their community. There are also folks who are more conservative who have raised issues with the seeing the new population of folks who do not speak English, kids who do not speak English in their schools, and have raised concerns about what effect that's having on education for other students. One conservative member of the community that we spoke with, Chuck Mills, who's quoted in our story, he described initially being really scared of what the new population would do to Whitewater because he'd seen larger cities on TV where you had homeless folks on the streets, you had cities that were really overwhelmed in a quite significant way. But he described starting to get to know his new neighbors and finding that really the fears weren't what he had imagined initially, and that everything is fine.
And that makes me think a big point of this report, as I read it, Melissa, is we can quickly form these stereotypes of what's going on in a community like Whitewater, whatever our political persuasion. When you see things on the ground, Melissa, things look pretty different. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, it's sort of the conclusion I think we came up with, which isn't a giant investigative finding, but it's complicated. Like, it's just complicated. Humans make mistakes and they do bad things and they do good things, and like all of us. And I think that's what we've seen with the immigrants in Whitewater. Some of them like have made mistakes and like even driven drunk, like the main character who we have in the story, Ariel. But the vast majority of the issues that we're seeing are not significant. Like there haven't been any major serious, like a serious crime wave. And one thing that was interesting to us, I guess, from the start is that both on the left and on the right, there wasn't a lot of direct interaction with the immigrants themselves. And part of that's because of the language barrier. A lot of the good, well-meaning people in Whitewater who are really helping immigrants, like they don't speak Spanish. So they don't actually, they aren't capable of having like in-depth conversations with these folks. So we really hoped that this story, which relies like on interviews with dozens of Nicaraguans, can help people understand like where it is that these folks are coming from and what their experiences have been in the city.
And Mariam, where are you going next when it comes to covering immigrants' experiences here in Wisconsin?
That's a great question. Our inboxes and phones are open if anybody wants to share tips with us. We are very plugged into Wisconsin, but I don't think we've quite decided what our next story is.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. Mariam, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
And Melissa, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Melissa Sanchez and Mariam Jamil. They are reporters for ProPublica. Their new piece out today looks at the politicization of immigrants in Whitewater. We'll have a link to their reporting up at WPR.org. And if there's something going on in your community that you'd like an organization like ProPublica or Wisconsin Public Radio to cover, to focus in on, we would love to hear from you what you're seeing, what you'd like to hear reported on. You can email us, wisconsintoday@WPR.org. Again, that's Wisconsin Today, schmoosh it together is all one word, at WPR.org.